This morning, the Sustainable Hour is sitting with our back to the, with the sun shining on our back in 11 Princess Street, St Kilda. And we've got Dave Martin with us. And Dave is the head of, well, you tell us, Dave, you're a very busy man. Tell us a little bit and our listeners about yourself and what you're doing.
Thanks, Tony. I'm Dave Martin and head of the Sociable Weaver Group, which we have some entities underneath our group, which is one, Small Giants Developments, Martin Builders, the Sociable Weaver, and the Nest Joinery. So all the businesses have one common goal of positive change to the world and trying to shape the built environment and making places and spaces that inspire and connect people to nature, sustainability for all positive change.
Well, that's something that resonates pretty strongly or very strongly with us on this show. Now, so what influenced you in this journey that you're on?
I think the more I look back at it, it's a longer journey than a shorter journey. There wasn't one defining moment that I said, okay, I'm going to do all this. I think there was a lot of defining moments. I think since I was a young boy, I was brought up in the outdoors. I'm very grateful to my parents. They took us bushwalking a lot around Tasmania and Victorian Highlands, and a lot of pushbike riding, surfing, skiing. So I think I was really pushed out into nature and in the environment and understood how everything worked, sun, weather, weather patterns and whatnot. And I think from there I just, I loved building, and I started a building apprenticeship, became a carpenter, and then just worked my way up through my roles to site management, project management, and then became a builder. And from there, I could really see I love being outdoors, I love interaction, I love seeing what we had to achieve at the end of the day. And I just looked at how we were building and the general industry, which would be about 10 years ago, of what was happening. And I just thought, wow, there's so much more that can be improved, one, on a performance level, two, on a livability part of the home itself, and then also the impact on the environment. We were getting rid of massive amounts of waste and using really toxic materials. So I think from there I thought, wow, I really want to push down this sustainable and positive change path. And it just started piece by piece, and as the time's gone, we've just got into it more and more, and it's what I'm passionate about, it's what my purpose is, and we have an amazing team around us as well.
Now, we've got the Sustainable House Day coming up in Geelong, so yeah, tell us a little bit about your progression from wanting to use sustainable materials and that process that you went through there.
Yeah, I suppose like anything, you step into a new world and there's so many people and there's people that are good at what they do and people that aren't as good as what they do. So what I've found from building our building team is just looking for the best of the best and talking to different people and setting up relationships. And I think from there in the, I suppose, the, you might say, the sustainable world, I kind of asked around and knew a lot of people. When you're interested in something, you form new relationships and whatnot. And then basically Tim Adams was recommended. They said he's the guru of energy rating and sustainability. He lives it and breathes it and amazing. So I'm like, okay, I've got to call this guy. So I gave him a call and introduced myself, and we just started chatting, and we chatted for, I think, at least an hour and a half, just about the built environment, sustainability, and what we can do, and our backgrounds, and I'm sure we could have chatted for like another 3 or 4 hours or so. So we just started with a conversation, and then it led in further and further, and then we started engaging Tim to work with us on projects. And probably our biggest one is our 10-star carbon positive home that we're in construction at the moment. And Tim and Tim's team, which are amazing, have been working really hand in hand with us. And also on the Sociable Weaver, our company we're going to launch in December, on just our designs, our homes, our performance and general sustainability and all. So yeah, we've got a great relationship now, and I can't wait to spend a lot more time around Tim because he's totally the guru of 10-star and energy rating for sure. What we've found, like, there's a lot of greenwash in the industry, in the sustainable industry, and I'm sure Tim and myself, we come across it quite a bit. And I think it was great. There was one, like, passion and common goal for us to achieve. So we really kind of worked together and architecturally designed high-performance, beautiful spaces, not a huge home, so it's compact, but can still has 3 and a potential 4th bedroom / study on there as well. So I think we were trying to tick as many boxes for our main kind of section of that mid-market. And analogy was made as to get 10-star with all the elements that we were trying to tick off on the list is like a Swiss watch.
Yeah.
So one slight movement of a window or a measurement can just affect the whole thing. So there was a lot of time back and forth to get the aesthetics right, the feeling of the spaces, and to get our performance of the building. So it was when Tim and Leonie, they hit the button, I got the phone call, it was like punching
yes.
the air. So it's great. It's a great achievement, and the team has engaged so much throughout it. They have because there's a purpose from it, and we can see we want to set an example of what's achievable and
yep.
how we've achieved it without spending $1 trillion or anything like that,
yep.
which was one of our tick boxes there. So we're in construction of that at the moment. Boys are standing the frames this week, and we've got a due date of completion in February next year. So really excited to see the progression of it and then actually spend time in the home to see how it performs. One on performing itself, but also the livability and the health of the home through the building biology.
You look at like everything really closely, even the paints and that are used. So have you got, when the house is completed, like all the tradespeople that are involved in it are part of your, do you subcontract to them or are they part of your company?
Yeah, we have all our in-house project management, site management, carpentry and apprentices. And then we have our preferred subcontractors that have worked with us for years. So we count them as part of the team. And that's our electricians, plumbers, plasterers and painters. They all know our philosophy. They know what we drive for quality. And they know the finish that we expect. So we really, as much as the core team, we take in everyone as our team, even from our recycled skip removal. Like there's so many elements into a build, and we're one element from the builder bringing everyone together. But again, we couldn't do it without our amazing core and subcontract team as well.
Yeah, sure. There's a lot of waste that comes out of a building site. You pride yourself on being close to zero waste or zero waste. How do you achieve that?
It's quite hard because it's a real education educational process.
Well, you're learning all the time as well.
Through building, yeah. And I suppose the construction industry is quite an old industry, and there's certain mindsets in there as well. So it's what we've done is we've spent a lot of time with our core guys, our carpenters, project managers and site managers, to what we want to achieve and actually workshop together of how we're going to do it. So what we've done, we've provided a lot of bin separation. We've set up a worm farm and a compost bin on site throughout construction, just as we see it can start the process for the client end of
the day. So what would go in that?
Say all our organic waste. So there's, because we have a lot of people on site,
yeah,
people are eating bananas,
yeah, okay.
apples, rolls, salads,
yeah, yeah,
and there's always
yeah.
a lot of actual waste
it would
that
be.
Just goes into landfill.
Yeah.
So we're throwing that in the compost. Then we've got cardboard bins, we've got metal bins, we have recyclable plastic bins, and then we also talk with our suppliers on like a lot of timbers delivered with plastic wrapping over the top.
Yep.
So we say we don't want plastic wrapping. And
yep.
then it just comes into logistics, so it's
yep.
not sat out in the weather for a long time. So there's a lot of different elements, but the main thing is being separation and just educating each trade. Like, we see it's hard at the moment, but as we keep moving forward, it'll become easier, kind of step by step.
Yeah, and people will be following your model.
Definitely. We have clients at the moment that we are doing that for, and the clients are so excited and so stoked with the process. They're actually taking some bins away because they're like, oh, we love it. We want to actually empty the cardboard for you guys. And so we do that. We bring it to the front. There's OH&S requirements that we need to do, but it's been really interesting how the clients actually engaged in that. They're passionate about sustainability and recycling, but it's it really inspires the guys, the team, through that as well.
One thing that really interests me was your approach to your apprentices, and it's like it's not just their advancement as builders, but it's also as people. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we I suppose it comes from real passion in the construction and building industry, and we want to build better the industry and start leading the industry as well. So we see it as we've set up a program called a sustainable apprenticeship, and there's kind of two main elements to it. One is taking our apprentices through the apprentice program and process, but what's happening a lot these days we're finding is apprentices either get sent to frame and truss factories, or they're just on a framing gang or fixing gang throughout the whole apprenticeship. So at the end of their apprenticeship, they've really got no idea to build a home from start to finish. And then what happens with that is the craftsmanship gets pushed out. Sure. They don't take pride in their work because they don't see a process from start to finish. So what we do is we put them through, we've got amazing carpenters that are true tradespeople, and we put them with carpentry crews that are the bomb. And then from there, we put the apprentice on separate jobs from a start to a finish. And they work with a plumber to do a pre-slab before a slab, a rough in, and then a fit-off. And same with the electrician, the plasterer, the painter, the joinery, or the cabinetry. So we take them through that process. So at the end of their process, they have this total knowledge of craftsmanship and also how to build a home or a structure from start to finish.
Yeah. Well, that was the original idea of apprenticeship, wasn't it? It wasn't just to, yeah.
Totally. I think over time, because cost is a big driver in the industry as well, it's gone pushing down the manufacturing line, so it's separated out. So we want to really bring that in and bring that kind of pride and quality back to building. So that's kind of one element, the construction side. The other element is more the personal growth side. So we look at us as people, and I see my journey and further learning about myself. So we look at positive growth. So we take him through, whether it's like financial, just we find a lot of young people don't know how to handle their finances, how to save, how to buy their first property if they want to buy a property or a car or tools. So there's kind of one element there. And then there's personal growth, public speaking, rite of passage. There's wellness summits, like about eating, physical activity. There's about mental stimulation, further investing programs. So there's like a number of getting a process through so they can actually develop personally as well. So we kind of see we nurture our people. And this is from young people through to mature age apprenticeships. There's really no age bracket. And we nurture them through 3.5-4 year process. So when they come out of the process, they're this amazing carpenter or skill set in that, and then also they've grown as a person as well. Mm-hmm. So they can give back to their community, their family, and they can kind of lead by example. And that's the real purpose of the sustainable apprenticeship. Yeah.
And you wouldn't be upset, I imagine, if they then went out on their own and
not
did similar?
Not at all. We really look at what we want to do. If we want to be there, I suppose the base thing is education. We want to teach people to come through the process. And then if they can take that and they can do that process and start their own team, they do it and they make positive change way quicker than what we can do one at a time. So we actually say, if you want to go out on your own, let us know because we're here to help and talk. And we see that it really, really team building and helps the industry as well. I talk to a lot of different builders and just on things that we should improve or ideas coming through. And the value we've got out of it has been amazing. So I think collaboration and transparency, I think, is a real future of business in the industry.
So, and not the cutthroat, dog-eat-dog, competitive
Totally.
Business as usual.
Yeah, I think we're always taught through my time of building, it's a really, dog eat dog, clash, don't show anyone your cards, keep it all, they're the total enemy, and don't give anything away, where I think I've gained so much more value from actually talking to other builders, other developers out there of different ideas of what we can implement. Because we have that further goal of bettering the industry and not looking at the industry as a dirty industry, this beautiful industry, that we actually have the power and capability to build these places and spaces that inspire and can be absolutely beautiful and have a better round of life for people. So it's really, really exciting.
So I imagine that your finished product is going to be a little bit more expensive than the basic sort of build?
Yeah, we're looking at the mid-market for the 10-star and for our product that we'll produce. What we see is we want to provide proof of concept, so we can do that and we can say this is what we do. And then I think with that, we'll look at what we can do of bringing on partners, other builders and partners, whether they go through the program or whether they're like-mindedness. And then from there, if we have further volume, with further volume, we can actually reduce those prices and rates to push out kind of thing from there.
But I imagine to the homes, an 8-10 star is going to have other costs. Once people are in it and living, there's going to be less costs in other areas. So, you know, there's going to be a payback period on that, which is an investment.
Totally. We're doing data and numbers on it at the moment. But we look at, one, you will spend a bit more in the build to build a high-performing and a beautiful home that integrates to nature. But from there, you will have a higher resale price because it's architecturally designed and it's sustainable. And then also running costs, like it's always our electrical, gas, all our bills are going up and up and up. Mm. So what we're seeing is you're saving a massive amount of cost, whether it's per quarter, whether it's per week, on that at the end of the day. So we see that spend a little bit more on the build, but over the process, you're going to save a lot more. For the home, we're going to have no utility bills, so it'll be neutral. Yeah. And we'll actually be producing more energy than we will require. And it doesn't take much. They're just some simple elements to do that.